forward. I have had the privilege of now knowing Dylan for a lot of years and have been blessed by him, and he wouldn't believe that or know it, but he is a blessing to those around him. And the Lord has really given him a gift in prayer and a gift in art. And so the bishop was visiting Regina a few months ago now and said, "Hey, Dylan, what would it look like if you just prayed and drew something and then told us all about it at Canon?" And he was like, "At Canon?" And he said, "Yeah, why not?" And Dylan went, "Okay." And so Dylan did that. And so just before Dylan comes up, if you have Instagram, because we want you to be able to get a good picture of what has come up or what he's done. If you have Instagram, you can open it up. You go to the Via Lethbridge Instagram page. We've uploaded the picture on there of the actual painting itself, so you can actually get a closer look at the picture. We'll also have it up on the screen. Our screens are not always the best for these sorts of things, so we did both. And then the picture is also here for you to be able to get access to it in whatever way you can see it the most clearly while he's up speaking about it. So please welcome Dylan Johnstone.
Thank you. Can you guys hear me? Is this thing on? Okay, cool. Yeah, Yorkton is much worse than small Regina. I'll just say that. So a session I called A Lovely Dwelling Place comes from Psalm 84. So I just want to start by reading that. "How lovely is your dwelling place, O Lord of hosts. My soul longs, yes, faints, for the courts of the Lord. My heart and flesh sing for joy to the living God. Even the sparrow finds a home and the swallow a nest for herself, where she may lay her young at your altars, O Lord of hosts, my King and my God. Blessed are those who dwell in your house, ever singing your praise. Blessed are those whose strength is in you, and whose heart are the highways to Zion. As they go through the valley of mourning, they make it a place of springs. The early rain also covers it with pools. They go from strength to strength. Each one appears before God in Zion. O Lord God of hosts, hear my prayer. Give ear, O God of Jacob. Behold our shield, O God. Look on the face of your anointed." So the Lord kind of highlighted two of his desires for this session to me. The first one is his desire to dwell with us. I think you can read scripture kind of as a story of his finding a way to be with us and specific ways that he manifested himself to his people. And the second desire is his desire for us and for the world, all of us, to be integrated into his body, to be fully alive and fully ourselves as we are integrated into his church, into his body. And so I think this painting kind of depicts those two things. There's sort of a lot going on, so I'm going to take you through my journey with this painting. The first desire, his desire to be with us, is something that has kind of been a theme for me for the past few months, probably, since Father Rob and Bishop Todd were in Regina, and I started painting kind of my version of the crest that he has tattooed with the dove and the word, and I wanted to put a heart in the center of it because, you know, all of these things only take effect when they're really applied to our hearts. And as I was drawing the dove, I was going to put it like with its wings spread out and like lightning coming off it or something. And I just had this picture instead of the dove, the spirit just resting and just in a nest on top of the heart and just kind of resting on my heart. And I've come to know such peace as I just meditate on that, on God's desire to just dwell in me and to rest. yeah, I just found this profound truth that the transcendent God, you know, utterly otherworldly, would delight to rest with us and to dwell with us. I just want to read from 1 John chapter 4. By this we know that we abide in him and he in us, because he has given us of his Spirit. And we have seen and testify that the Father has sent his Son to be the Savior of the world. Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him and he in God. So we have come to know and to believe the love that God has for us. God is love, and whoever abides in love abides in God, and God abides in him. By this is love perfected with us, so that we may have confidence for the day of judgment, because as he is, so also are we in this world. There's no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, for fear has to do with punishment, and whoever fears has not been perfected in love. We love because he first loved us. I just love how it highlights God's initiative in all of this, that he loved us first, that you know, all that we do in worshiping and in mission and in you know, seeking the lost is in response to his love for us, that we're free to love others because of his profound love that he has for us. So as I was praying about what I might paint for canon, this theme of the Holy Spirit resting on my heart had just been in my mind, and so I included that. But I saw a picture of that inside a nest, another nest, like below it. And my mind went to this scripture, abide in me and I abide in you, etc., John 15. Abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit, for apart from me you can do nothing. And so I included like these rosebuds growing out of the heart as we, you know, as we abide in Jesus, that's where the fruit comes from. And so I drew this nest with like kind of the crown of thorns or whatever around it to symbolize us abiding in him. And as I kept praying, I also saw like this nest with five roses growing out of it. And so I included that in there, not really aware of like what exactly it meant. And the Lord showed me his second desire for us to be fully us and fully alive as we're integrated into his body, and show me that the nest on the bottom is the church, it's his body. And so I put a couple peacock feathers in there. In a lot of like ancient Christian art and architecture, peacocks are used to symbolize the church. You often see them drinking out of a chalice, and so that's why those are there. But yeah, I saw kind of this image of the bird like foraging in the forest and finding these dead branches and twigs and bringing them back and integrating them into the nest, just like weaving them together and binding them together. And then out of that, this new life growing. As we are bound together with Christ in his suffering, we can experience also his resurrection. So I want to read from Romans 6, verse 4. We were buried, therefore, with him by baptism into death, in order that, just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in the newness of life. So this idea of sharing in his suffering, that we can share in his resurrection as well. Just a beautiful thing to kind of meditate on. And so yeah, that's the roses coming out and kind of like going through the heart. One of them, I think, like stabbed through the heart, because you just need something stabbing through the heart when you draw a heart, right? So. So I wanted to also to show that there is more than just one heart. So it's not just like my heart that the Holy Spirit is hovering over as part of his new temple, but it's each of us and all of us together corporately where he is dwelling. And so I kind of played around with some ideas of how I could draw that and ask myself the question, what is it that unites us specifically? And I just remembered one of our Corpus Phase 3 classes that was in this year. Shout out to Corpus Phase 3 students. It was really fun. It was so awesome. But we talked in one class about the liturgy and how as we all are together going through the liturgy, we're becoming like-minded in our faith as we're declaring the words together. And you know, every week we say that we who are many are one body, for we all partake of the one bread. And yeah, it's just this profound mystery of the Eucharist uniting us together with Christ. And so I drew this outline of the bread being dipped in the chalice, kind of in the center of the heart, and it's just meant to be this symbol of what is uniting each of us together at, you know, a deep level in our hearts. And then behind the heart, you know, all of this made possible by the sacrifice of our great high priest and sustained by the guidance of our good shepherd. And so I have the processional cross and the shepherd's crook kind of cross behind the heart. So that's the painting and all the different elements of it. And I'm only at 10 minutes, so. What now? Just kidding. I was praying this morning about, you know, I mean, not this morning. I finished this a long time ago and was very prepared. The Lord is showing me that the dove or whatever kind of bird came out when I tried to draw a dove is not being idle as it's resting there, that it's actually hovering over something that's being birthed in my heart and in all of our hearts. And that, you know, in the same way that the Spirit hovered over the barren world at creation and hovered over the womb of Mary, that he delights to come and rest on our hearts and in us, but he's not idle, that he's hovering and brooding over something that he is birthing. And so that I can live with expectation of what he's doing. And, you know, the time that I spend in meditation with art and in prayer, I can expect to see fruit out of it. And it was funny because after I drew the chalice and the bread being dipped in, just the outline, I was like, oh man, it looks a lot like one of those fancy like Easter eggs or whatever that's like in the cup or whatever. Just like, I can't show this, I can, and it looks dumb. But there's, you know, fruit that's happening in our hearts, you know, through the eggs that the bird is laying or whatever. Yeah, but that we can expect real change in ourselves and in our situations and in the world around us, and to spend that time with him in expectation of what he will actually do, and not just, you know, maybe hypothetically, like someday something will happen, but to expect that he will move and can move suddenly. And also, last night, so during prayer when we were in the confession time last night, I was just picturing. I like to pray kind of with my imagination and visualize things. And so I was visualizing, you know, the Holy Spirit resting in my heart has kind of been the theme for the past while. And I saw on top of my heart these spikes that are like, I don't know if you've seen on the top of buildings or sometimes like utility infrastructure or whatever, they'll put these spikes up there to prevent birds from nesting and making a mess or whatever. And I just saw these kind of on top of my own heart. And so, God was just inviting me to ask him what those things are that are preventing him from coming and nesting there and, you know, birthing in me the things that he wants to do. I don't know if that's helpful for anyone to kind of visualize and just take to the table and take in prayer, asking God to show you what those things are and then give them to him to remove them. And yeah. Yeah, so I just want to pray, and I just invite your Holy Spirit to be with us, to come and dwell with us in this place. We recognize that you are here and that you love to be here, that you love to rest with us and to birth things in us and through us. And yeah, we just look to you and ask that you would show us what things get in the way. And for me, some things have definitely come up already last night with the preach about culture, where I've let the world's culture into my heart and it's formed these calloused spikes that get in the way of you coming and working. And so I just repent of those things where I've believed the things of our culture as being more important than your culture. And I just ask you to come and just dwell with us, Holy Spirit.